Well, grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus the Christ. Amen. Now, I already told Claire before service that he loves my length of my sermon, so I doubled my usual length for him today in honor of their anniversary. So, no, I didn't. We'll start timing, maybe we'll see how much time we go through. So, well, I am excited that all of you are here today and made it through that wonderful rainstorm that we had, because we're continuing our summer series on lion chasers, which is about how to survive and thrive when opportunity roars. Now, we are in the process of getting the last couple of weeks of sermons up on the podcast, so you should be able to listen to them in the next couple of days at your leisure. And they're all self-contained sermons, or if you want to re-listen to any too, feel free to do that. So as you can see, as I pointed out to you earlier today, the signs that have come up around the sanctuary, which are talking about fears. More specifically, we're going to be talking about unlearning our fears. And I think all of us here today, if we're honest, all have some kinds of fears. Now, having worked in the medical setting before, I have encountered a lot of people with the fear of needles. Now, this kind of fear made it really hard for me to do my job, because all of my tests, except for two of them, involve needles. Now, during my time at the hospital, I noticed that this fear didn't have a demographic. I saw this fear in big, hulking guys lined with tattoos, all the way down to five-year-olds. People with this fear acted in different ways. Several cursed at me the whole time while I was starting the IV. Others closed their eyes. Some screamed, and some even attempted to bite me. Now, I'm not saying these things to embarrass or belittle these people, but just to show you how fear can affect us. Because I think every one of us has felt fear before. We feel those physical symptoms like our hearts begin to race, our breath quickens, the world seems to narrow, and we can think of nothing else about how to get out of the situation that we're in. Because fear is so hard to deal with, you might ask yourselves, why do we want to face our fears? Mark Batterson, whose book we are using as the basis of this sermon series, has an interesting quote that is the first answer on your sermon notes for this week. So if you want to get your sermon notes out, you can. So we'll give you the first answer here. Some of the greatest breakthroughs in our lives will happen when we push through fear. Some of the greatest breakthroughs in our lives will happen when we push through the fear. That might sound like a silly quote at first glance, but believe it or not, I think everybody here in this room has had experience something like this before. Think about that first job, starting a new grade level in school, or asking that boy or girl out on that first date. Those involved some fear, didn't they? In many of these circumstances, because we went against those normal fear tendencies, our lives have been enriched, right? I remember the fear I had of leaving my hospital job and launching into my career in ministry. I can't tell you the number of times as I went through the candidacy process where I was fearful that nothing good would come from this radically different position. And to be honest with you, it has been one of the best decisions of my life. And I'm really glad God helped walk with me through this life change. Now, this doesn't mean it has been easy, or though I don't have hard days, because I face my fears, I'm doing something that has given me purpose and is indeed one of the greatest breakthroughs in my life. So let's just shift gears for a little bit and talk a little bit more about how we come by our fears in the first place. Psychiatrists have postulated that people are born with only two innate fears. That's right, only two. And those fears are fear of loud noises and the fear of falling. So this means that all the other fears, all these other fears that you see around you today, we've learned. And that makes sense, right? I mean, I never wanted to do the competitive backstroke because I was always worried that a shark would come out and eat me. Now, mind you, this was despite the fact that I was in a swimming pool in Iowa where I could see the bottom. I mean, where did I come up with such a crazy idea? Jaws. I know I used a silly example, but take a moment to think about some of your deepest and darkest fears. There's probably some event or circumstance that leads you to why you have this fear. Maybe you got terribly sick on an airplane flight and now you don't like to fly. Going back to my experience with people who are afraid of needles, it's probably because they had a very painful experience when somebody couldn't find their veins and so they had to redirect that needle so many times, and I know a lot of you know how that feels. Or maybe they had to be poked more than once, twice, 3 times, 10 times. So we learn our fears. And this is actually good news, because that means we can also unlearn our fears. I would add, we can unlearn our fears by walking with God and asking for God's help as we navigate these fears. When we do this, it leads to spiritual growth as a person. And here's the answer to your second question on your worship notes. Half of spiritual growth is learning what we don't know. The other half is learning what we do know. Unlearning what we do know. Half of spiritual growth is learning what we don't know, and the other half is unlearning what we do know. Now, believe it or not, Jesus was really good at helping us do just that. And our gospel lesson for today really highlights Jesus' ability for doing this. So I'd ask you to pull out those black Bibles in front of you and turn to Matthew chapter 5, verses 38 to 48, found on page 786 of your Bible. Again, if you're using your Bible apps, Matthew 5, 38 to 48, which if you're using your Bible is found on page 786. And as you're getting there, let me set you the stage for what Jesus is doing. A lot of people have been hearing about him. So there's a large crowd that has assembled to hear what he's saying. Jesus invites his disciples up on the mountain, and then he starts teaching them about how God and how we're supposed to act in the world. So we'll start in verse 38. You have heard that it is said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say to you, do not resist an evildoer, but if anybody strikes you on the right cheek, turn the other also. And if anyone wants to sue you and take your coat, give them your cloak as well. And if anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go 2. Give to everyone who begs from you, and do not refuse anyone who wants to borrow from you. What is Jesus doing here? Now, if you think in terms of a computer, Jesus is uninstalling the unhelpful rhetoric and teaching of the day and is installing new gospel truth. And what is that gospel truth? That God knows what happens when we try to get even with someone else. We both lose. God is asking us instead to look at each other with a lens of love. And when we do that, we're all in a better place to deal with each other. We can begin to have a rational dialogue. We can begin to work out our differences in a way that's not harmful to either party. Don't you think Washington could use that right now? Jesus continues in verse 43, you've heard it said that you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be children of your Father in heaven. For he makes the sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rains on the righteous and on the unrighteous. For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you only greet your brothers and sisters, what more are you doing than others? Do not even the Hawkeye fans do the same? Again, Jesus is again uninstalling that human default to hate that person with the opposite viewpoint. He's uninstalling that human belief to hate people with different belief systems, of different people, of different tribes and different nations. Instead, Jesus is uploading respect, dignity, and an air of humanity. By doing this, we are able to be in dialogue with people who upset us or we dislike, but it allows them also not to have power over us. Now, what do I mean by that? Think of somebody who really upsets you. How do you feel? Upset, right? It just comes naturally. That is the power they have over you. You don't get to choose your feeling. What Jesus is asking us, by loving your enemy, Jesus is giving us power to feel how we want to feel, which is allowing us to be in control of our emotions and, in the end, in control of our lives. So at this point, you might be asking Paul, how do we do this? How do we unlearn our fears? Now, if I was one of those salesmen on TV, I would tell you to send the church 3 easy payments of $59.99, and we'll be happy to ship you this proven and easy to implement system. However, the truth is, there is a proven system, but it's not easy because it requires a lot of work out of us. The first thing we need to do is we need to read the Bible more often. I just read a couple of Jesus' teachings from Matthew 5, and we've already found a big gold mine there. There's a lot more stuff in the New Testament as well as the Old Testament that helps us to learn the truth that God wants us to upload into our lives. Another thing we need to do is pray more. Talk to God daily about what's going on. What is scaring you? What are you fearful about? Ask God to put people in your life to help you through the fear. The hard part about that is that you need to listen to these folks, and you also need to want to work on those fears. One of the last things you can do for yourself is to begin to expose yourself to the fear a little at a time. This might sound a little counterintuitive at first, but exposing yourself to fear chunk by small chunk will allow us to begin to see where this fear is coming from and how to deal with it. So if you have a fear of failure, it's important to begin to do projects in those areas that you're fearful about. Start small, though, and work your way up. This is important because the cure for fear of failure isn't success, but failure. That sounds really weird. Well, I mean, why is that true? It's true because when we fail, we see that it isn't as bad as we thought. And we begin again and again and again and see that this new helpful mentality of not being scared about failing is the best thing to do. By doing this, we begin to muster up more courage in our lives and begin to live the lives that God wants us to live. And here's the answer to the final question on your sheet. The goal of life is not the elimination of fear. The goal is to muster the moral courage to chase our problems. The goal of life is not the elimination of fear. The goal is to muster the courage to chase our problems. So this week, I want you to take some time and look at those fears in your life that you think are holding you back. Write them down. Ask yourself what you think is the root of this fear. Then start praying about it. Start picking up and opening your Bible and finding out what it says about fear. Use Google to help you find relevant verses and chapters. I do that all the time. There's no shame in using Google. Then start coming up with a plan on how you can come at it bit by bit. And let me know how it goes. Because we're in this together. Because when we unlearn our fears, we begin to live a life God wants us to live. And when we do that, this will change you, it'll change me, and the whole world will be changed for the better. So what are you waiting for? What are those things that keep you up at night? And how can God come alongside with you and walk with you to help you unlearn those fears? Amen.